Tonight's Big Brother Wednesday Night Recap is sponsored by our friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, while rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Again, rockauto.com. They're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts for hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com's catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Rob is a podcast in the How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who is not in the Christmas spirit. I am Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, Wednesday night, September 9th. Here to talk about a very interesting night of a Big Brother here with you. And we've got a great panel to do it. All right. Let's welcome back in. Here she is. I just spoke to her this weekend on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. Here she is. She's the voice of the people. It's Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you? What a great Wednesday.
Yes. See, this is why Wednesdays are good, Rob. Don't you know? I'm very excited to be here and to talk about Big Brother. This was definitely an interesting episode, considering that some of the stuff we saw tonight was not on the feed. So, you know, it was kind of cool to see how it actually may have or may not have played out.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Some conversations that were on the TV show that we finally got to hear for once. Okay, we get to see some stuff, and we'll talk about all that and much more here tonight. Very excited to have back with us to talk about some Big Brother, and he is riding high with his New York Islanders, the great Matt Liguori. Matt, how are you?
Yes, missing a game right now, but that's okay. When I don't watch, I usually do better. So hoping for some good things because we're not getting many good things on Big Brother, but trying to stay optimistic. This was a very bad week for myself and for everybody else out there that's been rooting for Day and Bay, but there's always Thursday tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. I say that every week.
Yeah. Yep, that's what we do. Matt, like that shirt, is that short sleeves or long sleeves?
Long.
Long sleeves. Look at you. Okay. That's good.
Thank you.
Hands up.
Okay. All right. And very excited to have back with us tonight to talk about everything that's going on. Please welcome Asia Welch. Asia, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm doing okay. But, you know, if I had a hard kombucha, I'd be doing even better.
So. We'll talk about hard kombucha here tonight. Okay. We've got your questions are ready to go. If you want to get any in, you can go to my Twitter handle at Rob Sesternino and reply to them. Scott St. Pierre standing by. We'll take them later on in the show. Talk about the live feeds. Get ready for Thursday's eviction and much more here tonight. All right. So this was an episode, I think, that was highly anticipated in terms of what we were expecting. We spent like the first half of the episode sort of like building to where we ended up getting in the second half of the episode. Really, nothing too exciting from that first half of the episode before we get to the Tyler drama and the veto. I really want to get there. I just want to make sure that anything from the first half of the episode leading up to the veto that we want to make sure we touch on.
I think Davon had a couple of like hilarious things.
Yeah.
Like, Christmas is weak and whack nominations. Yeah. That was funny.
All right, let's go there. Let's start with after the nominations that we get to see Bailey and Devon's reaction to Christmas and what she wants to do. And we have this scene where Bailey goes to go and check in with Christmas, and Christmas is very upset about the whole thing. And so we see Bailey's reaction to this. She calls her a mess. She says she's an unwrapped present. Is that a term that is used beyond just talking about Christmas Abbott?
It could be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that conversation did not go as well as Bailey might have thought. I think obviously it was a blindside for them to be put up on the block in the first place. It didn't really make a lot of sense to them. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. I know that some people have been saying, yeah, no, it was a good move for her. I'm still not really seeing it. But the fact that she went up there and she tried to sit down and talk to her, I'm glad we got that edit of like Bailey being in the diary room, like, I'm comforting her? Mm-hmm. What is going on here?
What is this?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Asia, as you mentioned, Christmas offers Bailey Christmas's refreshment of choice. I feel like we learned so much about Christmas here.
Do you want some hard kombucha?
Hard kombucha.
Okay. It's very good.
It's very good.
Highly recommend.
Melissa, what's the point?
As a gesture, a goodwill gesture. Like, hey, let's like crack open a hard kombucha. And a kombucha and just, you know, sit and chat.
Yeah. Okay. Melissa, have you had hard kombucha?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
Some are good. Some are bad. First of all, I love kombucha. Hard kombucha is hit or miss for me because, mm-hmm. you know, some of them are just real bad. But like June shine, stuff like that.
June shine.
That's good.
Yeah. Asia, how about you?
I'm a cider girl. I love cider. If you're in Texas, try Austin-y ciders. It's the best.
Yes.
I've never tried hard kombucha. I have had regular kombucha and I loved almost every flavor. So I would think I might like it. But like you said, Melissa might be hitting it.
Yeah. I feel like if you try one and you hate it, try another one.
Man, they don't have hard kombucha on Long Island, right?
I mean, they might, but I haven't come across it myself. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of water. I'm a big water guy.
I have not heard of that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's generally my choice.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. But the hard kombucha, that was a new one to me. And okay, that explains that. We see her drinking that with Tyler as well later on in the episode. Should we do, Matt, hard kombucha on sour ones on Robin and Akiva Need a Podcast?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
All right. So we're going to see a little bit of Danny and Nicole's interaction here. They end up just sort of having a conversation with Devon, and we see that Devon reveals it was Tyler that was their source to go after you. Day's trying to sort of like bury the hatchet with the women. Now, Danny swears never, ever, ever. She swears she never said anything about Day. I wish they would have given us like one of those old school Big Brother like flashbacks to like.
I thought they were going to do that. Like day 29. Day 30.
Day 2, day 3, day 4.
Yeah. Just a compilation of every time she said that. That's really like Danny's MO is just to like deny, deny, deny and just say like, and not only deny, but like vehemently deny and say like, I have never said a single bad word about you. I have never. And it's just like, I swear on everything. Mm-hmm. Like she always like goes to the extreme. It's not even like, it's not even like, oh, I don't remember saying that or something. It's like, I have literally never said a bad word about you. It's like, okay, all right, geez.
And I always wish that she had like, that she takes those conversations and maybe makes them a little bit more like, I mean, we talk, like admit that, like, don't make it seem like, no, I've never talked to Tyler a day in my life. I've been in this house for 30 days and we haven't spoken once.
Word.
We have group conversations and we talk about everybody, but I've never said your name in a bad way. But of course your name has come up just like, oh no, I like her. I say things like that, but just but, no, I've never said anything about you.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Does Tyler realize that in terms of stuff we didn't see in the episode, does Tyler know that this conversation ends up happening?
Yes, he does find that out. From what was it, Christmas, that he found it out from? But he did find out that they had that conversation. He was just like, okay, great. Mm-hmm. My cover is blown. Awesome. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it doesn't really change anything.
Yeah. I just wonder how much, like, is Tyler sort of like catastrophizing, like, oh my God, my game is ruined. That Danny talked today. They all know I'm the source. I'm going out of here soon. Like, where that? Do you think that, is it possible that this was sort of like foreshadowing for that in his mind, he's out of the game in 2 weeks anyway? So let me hit that exit ramp now so I can get out before the jury starts.
Yeah, that's felt like a big factor to me. Just we've seen him kind of like, especially with that montage, we saw how things have been playing out for him lately and his mental health kind of deteriorating in ways, and he's really missing Angela and this and that. But just as last week was so like so crazy with the gameplay, all of them potentially shifting onto the Danny target. And then this week was such a reset because Christmas won and they had no room to maneuver into that situation. Mm-hmm. He was like, wait, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I guess Bailey, Devon are good to go. And that's where we ended up. So, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
I do have to say that, like, so, you know, as much as we love Bailey and Devon and all that sort of stuff, like, they really need to learn to, like, shut their mouths when they get, like, information, like, game information, or when, like, someone is telling them, like, you know, I want to work with you, but XYZ said this or whatever. Like, it seems like they always immediately go to that person or some other person and kind of just spill. Like, even when it was, like, Ian was telling Bailey about, you know, this is the way the house looks to me and this is what I'm thinking, like, don't tell anyone. And then she goes and tells people. And it's like, I feel like that's kind of their downfall, is that, like, they always reveal everything. And if they had, I feel like they should have really just kept to themselves the information that Tyler was giving them, because Tyler was being genuine when he was giving that to them. Yes, sure, he was trying to set himself up as well by, like, kind of getting people to go after each other. But at the same time, like, that's valuable information. And to immediately then go and spill to the person that you have that information, it kind of just like eliminates the value of that information. So that's kind of been a struggle.
Yeah, that's a huge flaw. And I'd say more so in Day's game than Bailey's game. That Day, I mean, even back in Big Brother 17, when she found out about the twins, I mean, she ran wild with that information.
Needs to talk.
Yeah, it's like
Pick-ups.
She has to, that's her release. She has to get that out. And so I think that's a huge flaw in her game. Yeah. But I think with this situation, it was like, okay, we've just been nominated. I need to get that out so that, like, she was basically throwing anything at the wall that would stick.
So, we need a backdoor plan, and this is and this is going to be it. So I definitely get that as a Hail Mary. It's essential. Danielle Reyes, though, the eyes open, mouth shut is really the ideal way to move through the Big Brother universe. But I definitely understand where you know they're trying to, you know, reach out and find more allies, and then that's a way to try to build a bigger coalition. But it just has not been successful to this point.
It's unfortunate because I do feel like it's like they had the right idea of like, we need a backdoor target. Like, who can we get? But I feel like they just were missing that one piece of information, which was that Christmas and Tyler are a pair.
Yeah.
And like, if they had just known that, then they could work with Tyler and be like, okay, wait, what can we do us, like the four of us, to like, you know, put another target up there? Because it did seem to me that Tyler was interested in keeping Bailey and Dave on, but like prior to the week, like whatever. It did seem to me he was interested in that. And even when we were talking on Thursday, we were saying like, I think Tyler's going to get in Christmas's ear and I think we'll be okay this week. But then he didn't.
But what happened? Why did he all
I wish I could tell you.
I know. Like, I have literally no idea. It was very frustrating. I thought it was because he was maybe setting them up for a backdoor situation, like setting maybe Danny up for a backdoor, being like, yeah, Christmas, whatever, put whoever you want up. And then like, I'm going to step in after veto, but I don't know.
I wish I could have recorded the phone call that Iman and I had right after that episode. Obviously, a lot of therapy was needed on both ends of that.
It wasn't an episode of the choir room, the bonus episode?
It should have been. It really, we should have gotten the record going, but we were both emotional, him especially emotional. And it was just a lot of like, I really think that it could be this. There's no reason for Tyler to do this. And then about what, an hour later, Feeds come back on and he's in the love room with Christmas. And he's like, yeah, if you're doing Bailey and Devon, tell me what I need to do and I'll do it. And I'm like, but why? Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. It felt like last week Tyler was setting himself up in an amazing position where it was like he had Danny and Nicole on one side, Bailey and Devon on the other side, and he was kind of like working with both, and but his main target was to get Danny out, and so he was kind of turning Bailey and Devon against Danny. And then it's like, okay, yeah, let's just get rid of the people who I've been working on all week and who are going to help me. Like it didn't make any sense game wise for him. And I don't think it made any sense game wise for Christmas. So I just feel like, I feel like setting aside personal feelings about like how I do like Bailey and Devon and I would like them to stay. I don't think this was a great game. I mean, obviously at this point, Christmas can't have Bailey and Devon stay. They don't have a good relationship and maybe Tyler as well for Bailey. But I mean, at the beginning of the week, I was like, what is going on here? This doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Is it possible that Tyler was already checked out on Friday? Is that part of it? Where is it that did he have sort of this breakdown and desire to leave from as early as Friday?
I think he's been down and out for a while.
Basically.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Ian has in this episode a little bit of a medical scare. The show doesn't treat it as very serious. The show sort of treats it as like Ian is just very sleepy and he needs to stay in bed for a couple of days. Like he doesn't get like sad music or anything. Yeah.
It was similar to me for the Tyler thing. I thought that both of them were in like this very like panicky state for the days after Christmas 1. They thought that they had a different plan.
You said
going
this is yeah, this is similar to me. I thought you were saying that after the Tyler thing, this was you in your bed for 3 days.
That too. Still am. Probably after this podcast, I'll go back there for the next 24 hours. But no. Similar to Tyler, the two of them were having like these panic attacks almost of like, you know, on different scales, but like it just really felt like their worlds were shaken up. They really put a lot of effort. Ian, especially, you saw him on the hammock last week talking to Bailey and like, I figured the game out. I have the plan. I know what we're doing going forward. And then all of a sudden it's just not happening. And I don't know if that's exactly what caused it. I mean, he might've just had a couple of nights of bad sleep, but like you said, it just didn't seem the most serious, but he wasn't doing well.
Yeah. And I don't think that there was anything about this that was ingenuine from Ian. But I feel like that after the position that he was in following Kaser going home, that I feel like that this was probably a good thing for him to be experiencing from a strictly game perspective. Melissa, do you feel like that this was something that ultimately helped Ian to be seen as somebody who's in distress and much less of a threat than he might have been seen after he was getting everybody wound up last week?
You would think, but I do feel like he still has a massive target on him right now, just because he's a previous winner. And I think he did do like a little bit well with the damage control in terms of like basically just running back to everyone and apologizing, which was like kind of sad to see. But I mean, I think that like, what else was he going to do? I guess at that point, I feel like you do kind of, if you have no power, you do kind of have to just grovel and be like, yeah, no, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean any of it. Like I was just going crazy. And then once you get power, turn it around. But I was confused. Like, why didn't they pick someone else to play in veto? Like after they realized Ian wasn't going to be able to play, it's like, why not just pick someone else? Like he's not a nominee. It's just a random player. Like, it just seems odd that they wouldn't replace him. I don't understand it.
I feel like if they start letting people get replaced, then they set a precedent of like, oh, I don't feel good. I don't want to play. I can try to get somebody else in there from now on.
True, but shouldn't they also be setting a precedent that's like, oh, I don't want to play because like I don't want to like ruin my position in the game or like have to give any information away about who I'm loyal to. So like I'm just going to sit this one out, guys.
Yeah.
I just feel like, I don't know.
It was cutting it really close. Like the veto competition was a little delayed because Ian was like getting checked out and they didn't know what was wrong with him. So it could have been timing, but yeah, I agree with Matt, like that it could have been a situation where people will try to use production for their gain, not play.
Yeah.
And do we think that the prize was going to be for the sixth person was going to be a prize or punishment? I'm thinking trip to Hawaii or something.
Yeah, exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
And they saved some money. They didn't
Thank God.
They were like, Ian, take your time, relax, take the load off, go get some rest. We'll let you sleep for an hour. Yeah. Even though that comp lasted like, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah. Okay. We get to the comp, and boy, what a draw for Christmas. This is her comp, Melissa.
She's so good at it. She's so good. She wins it every time.
Every time.
She's so good at it.
Perfect record. Yeah.
Yes.
Hard to argue with it.
This comp was so bad. I hate it.
It wasn't even good TV. Like, it wasn't dramatic. Like, we couldn't, like, it was,
I don't know. I was doing math for like 10 minutes. I'm sitting there just like, okay, seven plus, I'm like really bad at math as well. So I'm just like, seven. Wait, oh, that's 13. Oh, no, that's not 13. Never mind. It was so bad.
I like the other version of the game, the Ready, Set, Whoa. Like, when they put different, like, things on the board. And I mean, you have, there's so many different words that start, that two letter words that end with oh. Yeah. And that always tricks people up. So I like that version better. Yeah. Sitting there doing math, I'm like, what's this doing?
Bailey and Davon get out literally the first two.
Yeah.
That like ruins any sort of like, oh God, what's going to happen? Like any suspense for the rest of the competition. Like it's just like, oh, okay, well, that's fine.
And I really feel like that the start of this competition is don't even look at the screen. Just look at the people next to you.
Exactly.
And then if the people next to you run, then you run too. That's it. Yeah. Don't sit there and try to do the math problem.
I was surprised they didn't do, I didn't know that it was only the first person who false starts. Like, I thought, like, okay, well, everybody false started on that one because everyone just started running. Wouldn't they all go out? I don't know.
Yeah, see, Christmas, yeah, she knew all the angles. She knows how to do
they
it.
They let go first.
Yeah. And that math is tricky anyway, though. Like, depends on how people learned addition and subtraction, because you have some people who grew up learning PEMDAS, where the order of operations.
Yes.
And so if you had someone thinking that, someone could have argued and said, no, this was 13 or it wasn't
13. They were lucky Ian was out of this competition, Asia. he would have been the only person to know that. When it was just the women competing in the competition, that Christmas was like, come on, girls, like, let's run and we'll have some fun. And it's like, she does this on purpose. This is the same woman who has this poem.
Good evening, Julie. Thank you, CBS.
Don't make us listen to it.
I love you, family, and to my big brother house guest.
Yeah. Anyway, but that I think she thinks rhyming is her thing. And maybe that's why she wanted Bay and Day on the block. It's like, Bay and Day, come on. You want to stay? In the veto, you get to play. She's like Dr. Seuss.
Christmas hasn't turned off mom mode. She's been away from her baby boy for about 2 months now, and she still has not turned the switch off. She talks to everybody in the house. It's not just the rhymes.
The star babies.
She talks. The star babies did not help. Certainly did not help. She was surrounded by pillows with faces on them for a week. Yeah, I mean, she like just look at the way she talked to Bailey when she came into the room earlier. Can I get you a drink, sweetie? Like.
She doesn't do like a hard kombucha, a sippy cup. Okay, all right.
Can I get you a drink and make you feel better?
Right. Yeah, Christmas is a weird lady. I just said I'm trying to understand her. That she ultimately is going to win this competition, and she has to take the veto away from Bailey. This is how she describes this. It's awkward. This is the very classic analogy Christmas uses.
It's like rotten cherries in a cake, and it's your birthday.
Melissa, it was recently your birthday. Would that be like a worst case scenario? Like it's like a rotten cherry in your cake, and it's your birthday. Did Alanis Morissette ever talk about that?
There's two out of three of those things that are good. So it is weird because it's like you've got two good things and only one bad thing. And also, why are there cherries in your cake in the first place?
Yeah.
So I don't really know.
How many cherries are in this cake? How many rancid cherries got put into the cake?
I don't know.
Surprised it wasn't like a Cole thing. I mean, she's been really all in on the Christmas jokes this
right.
season. I
think yeah, it's like Cole in your stocking. It's right yeah. there, Christmas.
It was right there.
It's right there. It's Christmas morning, and there's Cole in your stocking.
You want some Cole in your stocking to make you feel better?
Oh, God.
They should have left that one on the cutting room floor. Or said Christmas, try
yeah,
save
yeah,
lives.
One more.
Yeah. Right.
One
more take.
And some other interesting stuff there from that competition also, where Nicole Franzl goes out of her way. She's going to give $5,000, Asia, to Davon because she really wants that costume.
Yeah, because she was talking about how she's holds the record or is going mm-hmm. to hold the record for most costumes. I don't know how she wants to spin it in the DR. She just wants the costume. It wasn't she wants it to be seen that way. Like, oh, I did Day a favor, gave her $5,000. But her true motivation was another costume.
But do you think any part of it was also like, boy, I hope when Day gets out of the house, she won't be as mad at me as I was working against her, but I gave her that $5,000 that time. So now we're even.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wish I could credit whoever said it, but I saw a tweet before that was like, Davon gave her $4,500 extra, and Nicole returned $5,000 of it to Davon.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I was not a huge fan of the music during that little segment where it was just like,
oh yeah, very sentimental.
Yeah, they were like, wow, look at what she is doing right now. This is amazing. We've never seen anything like it. And it's just like, okay,
hold on, do you think this mastermind is thinking two steps ahead of Day, I gave you $5,000 and now you can come to my wedding.
Yeah. Just use that money.
And then you can keep $2,000 for yourself. And then you have to get a gift also. So we're basically, we're even.
Boy.
Okay.
All right. I do believe, I don't know if anybody already said this, that Nicole set a record now, I think, for most costumes in Big Brother history.
What a record.
Yeah. She's got that. She's got the days now. She's got the costumes. I mean, what else is there? She doesn't even need a two-time win. She's got everything else.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. She wants the two-time win, so that's her next goal.
I will say, I do think this costume is one of the worst ones. Like, it just seems so uncomfortable and very hard to, like, maneuver this giant box, especially, like, with this long, like, wig. It is
she plays with the hair all day, every day. She's just sitting there playing with her long, extremely long ponytails.
I don't remember all of her costumes. I know that there was the beer stein one that I like that one. There's the frog one, right? And this one, but I don't remember any of the others, but I think the beer stein one was probably the best. She had actual beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who cares about the costume?
This one's not it.
Like, there was no entertainment value from any of these costumes. Asia, is there a punishment also with it? Does she have to bring people a bowl of cereal, or is she just walked around the house with she's in a cereal box?
She should.
They said that would be perfect if she had to do that. But it was like, they said she had to do like a Sloppy's commercial, and I'm not sure if that actually happened. I haven't seen that on the feeds.
Yeah.
There's nothing but just her being uncomfortable, which might be enough, because she's been saying like, okay, I need to go to the key room and go to bed because that's the only way I can take this off.
Right.
Isn't this cereal one of the new advertisements on Rob as a Podcast?
That's Magic Spoon cereal. That's much better than Sloppy's. Nicole, she got her costume and then...
No! Freaking way!
Look... She's pretending. She wants that punishment. It's not a punishment if they want it. They got to, of the many things Big Brother needs to work on, punishments is up there. Okay. Let's just talk about Nicole versus Christmas in the final round. Matt, did Nicole throw the competition? That was a definite throw.
Yeah, there was no need. Like she said, there was no need for her to win it. I think I went into the competition hopeful. I was like, anybody but Christmas, this might be a good outcome. You might be able to see Danny or Nicole end up taking at least Davon off the block to show we do want you in the house and see what happens from there. But yeah, it was a throw.
All right, we still have a lot to talk about with all things Tyler in this episode. You're not going to want to miss that. But first, I want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Coastal. At Coastal.com, you can get prescription glasses starting at $9 with free shipping and 30-day risk-free returns. Look, we have all been staring at ourselves on Zoom calls for way too long. You might be getting sick of looking at the same pair of glasses on your face, or the people you're talking to might be getting blurrier and blurrier. And even with life getting back to normal a little bit at a time, we're all spending more time at home, which makes clothes shopping a little bit harder to justify. But a new pair of glasses is totally essential. That's where Coastal comes in, because at Coastal.com, they have the most advanced virtual try-on technology you'll find anywhere. Turn your frames into sunglasses by testing out colored lens tints, or finally see what a cat eye or aviator glasses would look like on your face, because with Coastal, you don't have to spend hours at the store or hundreds of dollars. Coastal.com, you pick out the frames you want, and then you see how the glasses look on you right on your phone or computer. It's amazing. I've tried it out. It works like a filter that you would use on a photo shoot. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the apps that it's like, but you know those apps that you like try on, like, oh, I have a cat face. That's what it's like, but with glasses. And you do it, and you can see the glasses, and you can try them on, and move your head from side to side, and the glasses move you with you, and you have a great chance to show them to people. Would you look at me all the time with that? And then your significant other says, no, not that. And then you know what you want. Coastal has 2,000 frames to choose from and the best 24-hour customer support. I've done it. I've gone through it. I have a brand new pair of glasses from Coastal. You won't waste your time or money at an expensive optometrist again. Coastal has over 2,000 frames to choose from and 24-hour customer support. We're talking about Newsweek's America's Best Customer Service. And they listen to this deal, okay? Now through October 31st, this is a treat, no trick. They're offering our listeners the best deal they have going on anywhere. 50% off your first pair of glasses at coastal.com/Rob. That's get free shipping, 30-day risk-free returns, and 50% off at coastal.com/Rob. This isn't one of those deals where you say it and then you take it away from the people that you gave the deal to. No siree, okay? Free shipping, 30-day risk-free returns, and 50% off at coastal.com/Rob. Only until October 31st. That's coastal.com/Rob. Some restrictions apply. And now, let's get back to talking about everything going on with Tyler in tonight's episode of Big Brother. We're all warmed up now. Let's talk about Tyler, okay? Let's talk about this whole situation. It's presented to us as, boy, Tyler looks terrible. Boy, Tyler is not... This was not the best endorsement of Angela's vegan cookbook that you could imagine. Boy, yeah, Tyler looks like hell.
I didn't think he looked
like
that
hell.
Bad.
Yeah.
I didn't think he looked that bad, really. Like, I mean,
he's emaciated.
Yeah, I feel like that's always been his stature. And people, I mean, they're maybe noticing it now that they have the backyard more and he has his shirt off more. But I'm like, I feel like he's always looked like that. Maybe a little bit more muscle in the last season than this season.
Asia, don't forget, camera adds 10 pounds, lots of cameras in the house.
True.
So,
true. Okay. We don't know what he really looks like.
So he's added like 300 pounds with all those cameras.
Yeah. Okay. So Tyler is talking about this game. He's messing with his head. We see some flashbacks to Tyler talking to David about how this game is not fun. He's not having fun. Tyler, that he talked to the cams one time, and he told us,
I don't want to go to jury anyway. If I'm not going in, I want to see you soon, babe.
I don't want to go to jury. I don't want to be here. This game is no fun.
Yeah, I thought in the beginning when Tyler was saying a lot of that stuff, like the, well, at least one of us is having fun, and, you know, comments, like kind of offhand comments like that, that are kind of playful, but kind of like, you know, just kind of whatever. I thought it was always like, you know, a Dr. Will type of situation where it was like, no. He was always like, yeah, I don't want to be here, whatever, and like make comments like that. But lately it has definitely turned a turn to a new direction, very negative and really not wanting to be here. So
Tyler, you know who else isn't having fun right now? All the people that watch this show, okay? And we don't get to leave.
The same way.
We don't get to just bounce, okay?
Yeah. We're stuck.
Take some responsibility here.
No. Yeah, this him in the DR was like a brand new Tyler. I know he's not the most animated person in the DR. Like, he's not the person you want to see in the DR. But just the energy he was giving, I know he was being real, but he was just like, I don't want to be here. I feel bad.
I can't. That this game is like really hard, and it's just not, you know, the thing that I like, and the Big Brother that I love. Like, you kicked out all the people from the Big Brother you love.
Yes.
They were there. They would have been fun.
Yeah. It's, you know, it really did seem like in his DRs this episode, it was like he was really being like forced to be there. That he, because, you know, usually if somebody's upset, they go to the DR and they vent and they like really just get out their frustrations and all that. It really didn't seem like that for me. It really seemed like they were like, he was like, I want to go. And they're like, what's wrong? Like, why don't you tell us about it? Like, what are you thinking? Like, give us some information. And he's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, just didn't want to like even engage with the DR, which is, you know, not a great sign. And, you know, skipping ahead just really quick, we'll come back obviously, but you know, even in his last DR, that sounded like so scripted. It really felt like they were like, tell us you're going to get your head back in the game, Tyler, please. And it's like, he does not seem to want that, but you know.
So, all right, we get this set up. Tyler is checked out and he's going around. And this to me seems like a really weird move that he's having these conversations with people, but he's wearing sunglasses in the diary room, that when he talks to Davon and Bailey, he's wearing sunglasses talking to them. Am I overthinking this? That I feel like, to me, like I've never worn sunglasses indoors at any point in my life. I've never done that. And two, like, I feel like that if I was going to be having like a serious conversation with somebody, I would certainly take my sunglasses off indoors to have a genuine conversation with people. That to me feels like very like psychologically like I'm hiding. Yeah.
So historically, Tyler wears sunglasses inside only when he is crying.
Mm-hmm.
So, or at least that is what he says, and that's what, you know, we've seen. So I do think that maybe like he tries to hide his emotions by wearing those sunglasses, which obviously, like, yeah, I, you know, when I'm having a conversation with someone and they're wearing sunglasses, I always feel like really uncomfortable because it feels like I'm having a conversation with myself.
Like poker players wear sunglasses inside.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, it's not ideal, but I do think that it is like a defense mechanism to kind of try not to let people see, you know, what his emotions are, but you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think a easy excuse that they might give you if you ask them in person is like, oh, the lights are so bright in there. You know, it gives you a headache, which I get, but still, in this kind of conversation, especially, this was an important conversation, an important moment between the two of them. Like, eye contact is important. Like, if you really want to get them on your side, show them your whole face.
Right. And I get it. If people are saying that, oh, he's crying, but it feels like there's deception when you're doing that. That's like one of the classic tales. Like, if people that like cover their mouth that are telling a lie, like cover my eyes. I don't know. This is not my area of expertise. Okay. what is, we don't know. Okay.
Yeah. I don't blame Bailey for not believing him, especially with that approach.
Right.
But my whole issue with this whole situation was the order of events.
Yes.
I think that's the reason that people have a hard time believe there's an argument about if Tyler was being genuine and if that was part of gameplay, because if he truly wanted to leave for that reason, he would have gone to Christmas and said, this is what I want to do, not gone to Bailey and Davon first.
Okay, yeah. There's a lot of different aspects of this between the edit and ultimately, you know, how this was, you know, went down in the real time. But let's listen in. Okay, so Tyler is going to, he talks to Davon. He says, go wake up Bailey. I got some news for you. And basically is telling them that he wants to leave the game. He wants Christmas to put him up on the block, and he is going to save them. Here is this, because this is important. Let's listen into what we hear from the episode. This is Tyler talking to Bailey and Davon.
Like, I'm a competitor, and I love this game mm-hmm. so much. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to stand for something bigger, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So I've been, like, it's like a clash in my head going on. In, like, my heart. Like, I want to win, but I want to do it the right way. And then when you guys were put up, something clicked within me. I see how bad you want to be here, and I feel guilty. And, like, I don't want to take that away from either of you guys. So I was going to ask Christmas if she could use the veto on one of you and put me up. Because I owe you guys that. And I think you guys can do better. And I think you deserve better. And you're standing for something, you know, like greater than me. And I want to see that. I want to see that play out.
Okay. All right. So we hear Tyler talking about how that you know, they're playing for something that's bigger than him. And implying, like, okay, he's going to step aside because it's the right thing for him to be doing. And ultimately, he will not make that decision. He gets talked out of it, whether it's by Christmas or whether it's by production. But I just find a lot of incongruency here between, you know, what he's saying his motives are and what his ultimate actions are in all of this. That, I mean, put me in the camp of, I just think Tyler wanted, he thinks the game's not going great. Just figured, I don't want to go to jury. I just want to go home to Angela. And this is my exit ramp right here.
Yeah, no, totally. And I do think that there is, like, it's a situation where it's like, I, first of all, agree with Asia that, like, the order was wrong. He should have gone to Christmas first and been, like, set that this is what I'm going to do. This is what, and Christmas agrees with it. And then once that is the plan and the plan is going to go in motion, then you tell Bailey and Davon that you're planning on doing this so that you can save one of them. Don't tell them first, get their hopes up, and then go to Christmas, like, with the plan and have Christmas be kind of like, no, I don't really want to do this. Because obviously Christmas is going to say, no, I don't want to do this. You're my number one ally, duh. And then, you know, I agree with what you're saying, Rob, which is like the fact that according to the edit, what changed his mind was that, like, Bailey was still going to come after him.
And he's like, grateful enough.
Yeah, she's not grateful. She's not deserving of me, like, you know, giving up my game for her, which, like, that may be the case. But at the same time, it kind of makes it seem like if his only motive, which I don't think it is, and I think we all don't think this, if his only motive was helping the cause or helping Bailey and Davon get further, then, like, it wouldn't matter if Bailey was still trying to target him. It would still be like, well, yeah, okay, whatever. She still wants to target me, but I still want to help their cause, which is what I wanted. So I'll still step down. Like, I'm not going to, like, stay. So it does seem a little weird. I think ultimately, like, everybody, I can see it from everyone's perspective where it's like Bailey and Davon, they get their hopes up. They're, and then they're immediately crushed. They've got Christmas, who's like, I don't want to put my number one ally on the block and backdoor my number one ally. That would literally be seen as the dumbest move ever. And then Tyler is like, I want to do the right thing and leave. But, like, and also I do think he's genuine that he, like, wants to help the cause or whatever, or, like, wants to help Bailey and Davon. But at the same time, it's like, he didn't follow through with that. But I see someone who's torn and is like, I don't know if I want to leave or want to stay. And, like, do I help Bailey and Davon to hurt Christmas, who's my number one ally, or, like, what do I do? And I feel like there's just so many different, like, interconnected things that it's hard to just pick a hard line and say, no, this person is doing it for this reason and that's why we hate him, or this person's doing it for this reason and that's why we hate them. Like, it just, there's just so much to it. It's really nuanced. So I don't know.
Yep. Yeah. Go ahead, Asia.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it would have been, it would be a clear cut line to know that, okay, he just wants to leave. He misses Angela. That's the truth. That's what is really driving him to try to get out before jury. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to go to jury because then he's stuck for the rest. But it's like, to add that one element on top of it to say, okay, I want to go, they're on the block, but then, okay, this is why I should say it, which I don't think it is as calculated, like as a game move. I don't think he sat down and said, okay, here's how I can further myself in the game and decided to create this. I think it was just like, half okay, this is how I'm feeling, but it's not going to make sense to try to leave or to quit. Let's say he wasn't allowed to quit and he had been talking about it for weeks and trying to, then he's like, okay, well, this is the only way I can get out of it by saying this. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think he just wanted to go home and then felt like, okay, well, and then also this would also be a nice thing to do, and no one will criticize me for leaving for doing it this way, whereas if I just say I miss my girlfriend, then I don't think that Tyler is against what Davon and Bailey are trying to do this season. Right. I don't think that by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think that it was a convenient excuse for him to not be. We know Tyler cares a lot about what people think and say about him, and I think that he felt like if I just say, "Hey, I just want to get out of here. I gotta get home. You know, this you know, I want to. I just want to be back in South Carolina, and I don't want to be in the jury." Then everybody would have been like, "Oh, quitter." But to do it this way, it was like an elegant way out of the game for him, and also, you know, a chance to potentially do right by Davon and Bailey, which I think was appealing to him. But ultimately, things start to change, where then we know on Monday there were conversations where Tyler is in the diary room for a long time talking with production. Production certainly does not want Tyler to leave the game. We don't know what was said by production to get Tyler to stay. I hear that they can be very convincing. But what we do see is a lot of Christmas and how she's reacting to all of this. Christmas does not want Tyler to ultimately leave the game here. I guess what I'm sort of confused about, I always try to find, like, where's the win for everybody? Christmas says this is not a win-win situation for her. But could Tyler and Christmas and Davon and or Bailey, you know, come up with some sort of scenario that did not involve Tyler leaving the game and Bay and Day potentially staying? Was there another name that they could have come up with to put on the block and ultimately make everybody happy?
Danny.
That's not. I get a lot.
She's
of
in the committee
up there. Yeah, Christmas is so focused in on these on this group the committee. She had. Danny and Nicole were right by her side for the past like many days. Like she was not ever going to consider Danny. Once she had Bailey and Davon on the block, she wanted nothing to change, no matter how many arguments. Like Nicole and Danny were in her ear saying, maybe we should take Davon, like, you know, keep her further, and kind of implying like, well, would you mind if the veto got used on her? And Christmas the whole time, I really want things to stay the same. I really want it to stay the same.
But I feel like also a situation is like, if Tyler, I mean, even, okay, so maybe Christmas wouldn't have followed through with it. Maybe. But Tyler didn't even seem to offer up any other options. It was like, either I'm going on the block and we're going to save Bailey and Davon, keep them in the house and I'm going home, or we're sending out one of Bailey and Davon. It wasn't like, well, why don't, like, if you don't want to send me home and I want to help them. Like if really like helping Bailey and Davon was like the number one reason why Tyler was doing this, which like we all know it wasn't, like, and I think he knows it wasn't, but like, you know, he just wanted to go home. But if the real reason why he wanted to do this was to help Bailey and Davon, then he could have proposed another option that didn't involve him leaving.
Yeah.
So I think
And he's like, look, if you want me to stay, I'll stay, but put Ian on the block, take down Bailey. Like, okay, who says no? Who says no there?
Yeah, because then, like you were saying, Rob, I mean, what he wanted to do was potentially get out, go home. If the game wasn't going his direction, I mean, whatever his motivations were, I think everybody's been kind of reading that differently. But whatever his motivation was, the point was he wanted out. He wanted to leave. And if he wasn't leaving, then he wasn't trying to, you know, cause waves and make a big move, which is what he already did last week. And then that whole thing didn't end up panning out. So why do anything like that again this week? So I do get why he didn't start throwing other names out. It was either him or just leave it the same and I'll stick it out and I'll keep going in this game further with you. Because again, it's been covered at least on previous podcasts that this was a move eventually that was in Tyler's sights. Like he was eventually looking to see Bailey and Davon split up. So it's not like this move is completely against what he was hoping to see happen at one point or another, but it just got messy.
Yeah. Because it seems like that when he talks about the cause of what Bailey and Devon are trying to do, it seems like that he doesn't care that much about the cause anymore, because he seems very over that concern by the end of the episode.
Right. That's what they tried to. That's what's so frustrating about the edit, is that they tried to make it seem like, OK, because Devon said that she wants Tyler's head on a platter, that's why he's decided to stay and Christmas decided not to use the veto. Christmas was never going to use the veto. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the reason would have been. It would have been no. Bailey said Devon was her untouchable. Like, she would have just used that reason again.
Right.
There was no changing that. But would it have changed Tyler's personal feelings towards Bailey? Maybe. But that wasn't why he decided to stay.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that conversation, because we're going to see where Devon tries to talk to Christmas. And she says, hey, look, we got the women's thing. What if we bring Bailey into this also? And because Christmas is like, well, I put her up on the block. Maybe she doesn't like me. And it's like, no. It's Tyler she's mad at. She's not even mad at you. So, I mean, Devon was trying to do damage control there between the Christmas and Bailey side of it. Ultimately, Christmas is like, oh, okay. Oh, she's mad at Tyler. I could use this as a reason why he should not give his game up for Bailey, because she's mad at him. That's why. We'll do that. And in fairness to Bailey, I will say that Tyler has not done anything yet. He said he would do something. And Bailey had a very much a wait-and-see approach. She's like, right. Oh, boy, this guy, you know, he writes checks. They bounce sometimes. Let's see what happens ultimately. I think that was a fair read from Bailey.
Yeah.
Considering it did not happen.
Yeah. At the same time, it's like, maybe don't say anything about it. Like, maybe internally, like, think to yourself, like, we'll see what happens. But don't, like... Mm-hmm. Don't like be like, okay, you might help me, so I'm just going to go around telling everyone you're my target just in case you don't.
Like, yeah, see, the thing is, it's like, can it be both? I think it can. The fact that, like, what Asia was saying, that, like, Christmas was not using the veto. There was no way that it was happening. But Devon does talk a lot, and, you know, sometimes she can't hold it in. So when she thinks she's doing, you know, a little bit in that conversation to say, no, Bailey is not coming after you. She's focused on Tyler. The only problem with that, if that did genuinely have something to do with what Christmas was saying later on, once Tyler goes this week, if that's the plan, then where's Bailey looking? I mean, it's hard for Christmas to believe that she's just not going to look at her anymore. But still, the point is that, like, I know a lot of people are upset because the way that the edit was presented was not that it was always what Christmas was going to do no matter what. It was that Bailey and Devon made a mistake along the way, which they did not.
Devon even framed it that way in the DR, saying that she was trying to put all the pressure on Tyler for Christmas's sake. So Christmas would see it as a reason to use the veto, because Bailey's energy is directed at Tyler, not at you. And so I don't think that was even 100% true that Tyler's head was on a platter for Bailey. It was just that that's how Devon was trying to shape it, not knowing that Tyler is Christmas's final two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bailey is suspicious of the whole thing. This is a little hard to hear, but here's Bailey.
Is there a possibility that you think this could be a ploy for him to let go on TV and it not really happen?
Like, Bailey is suspicious about the whole thing. Is this a ploy that he could just be trying to look good on TV and then not really happen? Melissa, is it a fair read to say that Devon is more optimistic that Tyler is going to go through with it and Bailey is skeptical about the whole thing? Like, she knows Tyler the best.
Yeah, I mean, I think Devon was really taken aback by the fact that Tyler was suggesting this and was actually genuinely thinking it was going to happen. I think Bailey was a little more closed off, but I do think that, like, at one point they both thought it was going to happen. So, you know, it's sad, because I just feel like there was a lot of, like, ups and downs with emotions throughout this week. And it's like, it feels a little bit like Tyler was kind of inadvertently, probably, like, I honestly do think it was inadvertently, but, like, inadvertently playing with their emotions and kind of just, like, holding them on a string, like, okay, here, I'm going to do this for you. Oh, no, wait, now I'm not. Like, oh, maybe I will. No, I'm not. And it's just and then to have him not even tell them after he and Christmas, like, and probably he and, like, the producers decide, like, I'm not going to go through with this. Christmas is like, I'm not using the veto. Yeah. He didn't tell them that was the case. So they go into the veto meeting thinking that this is still going to happen and they're going to be saved. And
yep. Melissa, you bring up a really great point that's not part of the episode. So, Matt, we get Tyler's conversation with the diary room. We learn about some unknown rules of Big Brother, which came into play this week. Can you explain some of the rules that we learned about Big Brother this week?
Are you talking about how, like, it's you're not allowed to leave the game?
Apparently. This, there were some rules that Tyler was going to violate in gameplay.
Yeah, so basically he was looking to leave, and if he was going to ask the house to vote him out, or if he was just going to leave on his own, that's not allowed. On his own, that's, you know, we've seen house guests leave before, but now here in Big Brother 22, All-Stars,
What would that look like? The doors are all locked, Tyler's like, all right, I'm out of here, Angela, I'm coming home.
Because we heard that somebody had to stop by the DR to potentially talk to him. Who knows how that went down, you know, if she like walked in the room, tied him up around the chair, told him to sit here and think about what he's done until he's ready to change his mind. Who's to say? We don't get to see that footage, but he was. And there was a statement. I think you talked about it with Matt Hoffman. Maybe you talked about it.
Yes, on the slop with Matt Hoffman. There was a statement about how from Angela.
Yeah, if he was able to go, he would have, but he was not allowed.
He was told he's not allowed to.
There was nothing he could have done. He just, his hands were tied, and maybe his whole body was tied. if you go with what I was saying, so yeah, he wasn't able to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though we've seen this time and time again in the past, I mean, even as recently as Celebrity Big Brother, my breast milk is depleting. Please throw me out. Like, it's happened before. LaJuan, Big Brother 13, he wanted to leave. Yeah. So he told people to vote him out. So, like, it happens. So I think, I don't know why that he was trying to say that that's completely against the rules, knowing Christmas follows the rules and that's what he was telling them, but then not being completely honest. But it seemed like there was something that was left out.
Yeah. Just trying to follow the logic tree here of Tyler says, hey, I want you to put me on the block so I can get voted out and get out of here. And they say, nope. That is not allowed. That is against the rule of the game. You cannot do that. What if I do? Ugh. Boy, what then? Like, I guess you're out of the game.
No recourse.
And there was a lot of talk because he's not the only one who has tried to hit the exit door this season. Ian, as well, a couple days prior, was looking to maybe see his way out of the house. And I feel like there was another name or two that were like, yeah, I really don't need to be here right now. So they really have had to guard that door with a lot right now. I don't know what they're holding on to, like you said. What do we do if he actually wants to go?
Yeah.
Right. Because even if he wanted to quit, I mean, we even saw in Christmas's own season, someone quit, Megan. So it was like, people quit. Right.
I honestly think it has to do with this stipend. Like, I think that it's not that like they physically will not let them leave. I think it's like, okay, well, if you do this, it's considered a quit and you will lose your $40,000 stipend. Mm-hmm. Like, I really think that's like, that's what they're saying. And then they're like, well, I can't quit. I can't quit now. They're not letting me. So I think that's kind of where it comes from. At least you know.
Yep.
All right. So we're going to see then Tyler and Christmas have another conversation. And now Christmas is going to reveal that Bailey is still mad at you. Bailey is not, she is no fan of yours, Tyler. You'd be giving up your game for somebody who does not even like you. And this is like, well, that's it. That's it now.
Breaking news.
Really cares too much about actually like being friends or squashing everything. Now I'm just kind of feeling like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have done that or suggested that, because it might be just like a one-way street.
It's a one-way street.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Tyler's
breaking news.
Constantly doing nice things for Bailey, and she is constantly not appreciating Tyler.
These two have had such a history since BB20. We saw what happened on the season. We saw how things have played out. They've talked a whole lot about how things have played out in their personal lives and their, you know, them interacting with each other's significant others and the fandoms. Obviously, there are a lot of fans of both couples, and it has not been the easiest 2 years or so for them. So a lot of history going into this week here. It's not, you know, there's other pairs in the house, and we haven't quite seen them in this predicament yet. Besides, I guess Janelle and Kacer is the closest, and we saw that was a completely different story of just such a strong history, but that was in a positive way, whatever. But yeah, so I guess what Christmas, I mean, it's hard because she's not wrong that if Tyler is going to stay and do this for Bailey and Devon, it should be because they actually appreciate it and they want him to do so. But it's just so, you know, it's such a cop out to I don't know. It doesn't sit well with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To be backing out. Again,
he did not do anything yet. What did she have to be appreciative of?
The
gesture? Yeah, like, oh my God, isn't Tyler the greatest guy ever?
Right.
I can't believe he would do this.
And she's sitting there like, she's like, I'm the HOH and I'm the veto holder. So all the power's with me anyway. I can decide. So I don't care what you say. I'm the one who decides.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to get to the veto meeting. Okay. Christmas is going to announce that we are not going to use the power veto. Bailey ends up saying here, can we share who you said your untouchable was? And Christmas says, no.
No,
you cannot. All right, meeting adjourned. I guess that's that. All right. Melissa, did Bailey know that? Is Bailey bluffing here?
I actually was surprised she said that because I didn't know she was going to say that. So I didn't
I
didn't
cannot.
Know that was a thing. But, you know, I was actually surprised. They didn't even give them a chance to do speeches or like, don't they normally do the, you can convince the veto holder, like you have a minute or whatever to say.
Ran out of time.
And they didn't they do anything.
But they do
because they talked about Bailey at plan or Tyler helping Bailey plan out her speech and like whether or not she should say Tyler's name in the speech. And it was all basically based on like, the idea that Tyler was still going to go through with what he was going through with, even though I guess by that point he already knew he wasn't going to leave and was still helping her with her speech, which like seems a little weird that he wouldn't at that point tell her that, like, by the way, this speech is meaningless and it's not going to actually make any sense because I'm not going through with like what I was planning on doing and what you think I'm going to do. So it was weird that I was actually looking forward to seeing like what they had said because I had heard about this speech for so long and then they didn't even show it. So I don't know.
And speaking of that, that would have been the move is to, if he knew that morning of the veto meeting, he knew that Christmas wasn't going to do it, right? And so all he had to do was go to Bailey and Day and say, look, I tried to do it. Christmas is not budging. She's not going to put me up, like, just so you're aware, because now it just looks dirty to Bailey and Day. And like you said, the fact that he was sitting there helping her with her speech, like word for word, maybe don't say my name. That just doesn't look good.
Yeah. And like, the commentary that like, well, you know, this is a game move. Like, this is Big Brother. Like, you don't owe people anything. You can do whatever you want in Big Brother. Like, that is true for like game moves. But I don't think this was a game move at all on Tyler's part. I think this was genuine. I think he really wanted to go home. I don't think he was pulling a Tyler's funeral or doing anything like that. Like, this was
a game move. Does anybody think
that? This is not a game move. There is some commentary of people saying that, like, you know, everyone shouldn't be upset because this is a game, but this wasn't based in game. This was like legitimate feelings and like legitimate, like I want to go home, which is different than like, you know, using, the doctor will like send me home. Everyone vote me out as like a game move.
Right.
So,
but there are people that think that Tyler is playing like 4D chess, that this was all like a mastermind move.
I mean, maybe not so much now. There's not as much people like, tooting that horn. But like, I mean, back when he first was saying, I want to go home and this whole like conversation started, there was a lot of people saying like, Tyler's funeral, here we go. And it was like, I'm not seeing that right now. Like, I would love if that was it, but I don't see that.
Like, if there was anybody that was going to attempt it, it would be Tyler.
Yeah.
So when you see him doing something like this, like, you know, the thought can cross your mind.
Right, but of course.
As it went on.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll ask him about it in his post-game interview.
It won't be tomorrow.
We'll go through all of it.
Friday.
Okay. All right. Tyler is back, baby.
I did. offered Bailey an olive branch, and it's seeming like she just took it and kind of snapped it in half and threw it on the ground. So I'm definitely glad Christmas did not put me on the block after all. This might be my second chance in this game.
Okay. Didn't he have a problem with how he was morally playing the game? Like, wasn't that also one of the issues?
Yes. He said he hated
more.
Yeah. Didn't want to be seen a certain way. He said, I'd rather go out like this. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to be like that.
To be honest, I have literally no, but up until this week, I had no problem with the way Tyler was playing this game at all. Like, I thought, like, I didn't think he was being like manipulative or anything. I thought he was having a great game, great social game, you know, trying to convince people to go against each other, like making a bunch of different alliances. Like, I had literally no issue with that. So I don't even think he needed to be like, you know, morally confused or whatever by any of this. I mean, maybe this week, I would say the time when he was trying to like set things right was like the one week where I thought like, oh, this is not great, Tyler. But it's, I don't know.
For the record, that people that watch Big Brother do not have a problem with morality about lying and manipulating. Like, the most revered players in the history of the game are the biggest liars and manipulators that there are.
Yes, exactly. That people love that. As long as you go in the DR and you own it,
but...
like, and you act like a fun villain, like, I just feel like people like that. It's when you do all that stuff and then go in the DR and pretend like you're this honest, truthful player, like that you are just such an angel. That's what people don't like. So if you're going to manipulate people, like, that's great. But like, tell us you're doing it. Let us in on the secret, because that's what makes it fun for us.
Yeah. And all those players you were mentioning, Rob, the greats of the game, most of them are winners. I mean, there's a couple that aren't, but some of the, most of those people won the game. So I think in general, maybe he just feels like he's looked at as somebody who played hard aggressively, and then it's just an a-hole because the jury didn't want to vote for him.
Okay. All right. So let's take some questions from this episode, and then we'll talk about what's going to go on the live feeds, and then update the vote count heading into Thursday night. Let's take some questions here. Let's start with Evil Zank, who says, should the show have included that David could have ensured Bay's safety? Is David still bothered by the fact that Day said she would never vote to evict a black man, given that he implied about solidarity? Well, I mean, the show did include it. I don't know if that's the question about whether or not, but game-wise, is anybody on David that he didn't save Davonna Bailey? I think that was pretty solid on his part to, like, there's a non-zero chance David's going on the block the next 2 weeks.
I think if he was in a better position, I would have been like, no, you need to save your allies. But at the same time, like, I don't feel like Bailey and Davon are as close with David as they are with each other. So I don't know if I was David, I have used it on them? Like, I see the argument for it, but I also feel like he has 2 more weeks to use this thing. Like, he's likely going to be on the block in one of those 2 weeks. So I think it's a good idea for him to keep that power. And I think they did it. I think they included it, even though it wasn't relevant because he wasn't even considering using it, because you know people are going to ask, like, but David has that power. Why doesn't he save Davon and Bailey?
Yeah, he's got to save it for himself. It's David. Yeah. I mean, he's got all the game to prove this time around and to go farther. So,
yeah,
but we talked it through on Sunday night about, like, what point in the week does this lightning power, the disruptor power, get to be used? Now we know for the next 2 weeks that on Wednesday night episode that we'll, like, it'll be right after the nominations. We'll probably find out sometime on Friday or Saturday if that happens and we get a nomination change. I don't know what the mechanism will look like yet for them.
And even though I'm not sitting over here like rooting for David or anything, I'm just so afraid that he has this power and then he's going to be put on the block, let's say next week, and then after he's just like, well, I don't want to use my power because this is opportunity for me to win the veto and I can get a comp win.
Please,
he would never hear the end of it.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe hilarious. But
Asia, if Tyler only knew that David had this power, he could have gone to David to say, David, could you use your disruptor power to put me up on the block? Could have gone around Christmas.
So to clarify, can David just remove a nominee or
he can't make the replacement. Yeah, just, so yeah, close.
Okay, well, because I was like, whoa, then that is a big power. Okay.
Yeah,
I think him and Christmas essentially have the same power, except it's used for different ceremonies. David can block a nomination after it's been put on the board, and Christmas during a veto ceremony can just, if somebody's about to be named as a replacement, she can say, no, you're not putting me up or whoever up. So
Danny's really is similar. The worst power.
Yeah.
So bad.
Oh, God. Poor so Danny. Bad.
Okay. All right. This is a question here that's from Sergeant Fox. Swaggy told Bay to help get Day further. Why wouldn't she let Day keep the power of veto? I know Danny and Nicole would let Danny keep it. Do you think that Christmas would take the POV if Day had it? You know, I don't know necessarily like how much that is canon of, you know, they're fifth and fourth in that competition. Neither of them is going to keep the veto.
I think Christmas would have taken it from either of them. I don't think it was like Day versus Bailey, but I was a little surprised actually when Bailey took it from Davon, just because Bailey has been saying stuff like that she wants Davon to go further and that Bailey knows this is like the end for her. So I was a little surprised that she wasn't like, you just keep it. But at the same time, I guess if they both knew they weren't going to have it, then maybe, I don't know.
You got to at least try. You know it's not going to end up in either of your hands.
Right.
Like Christmas is still in the competition. She's taking it. But you have to hold on to that like very little bit, like 0.1% of hope.
There could be a good enough prize out there that Christmas is like, what?
I got to go for that. Babies. Oh, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Colleen Van Dusky says, how is it that the two competitions we got this week happen to be the same two HOHs Christmas won on her season? Crazy coincidence that she won them again?
Rigged.
Yeah. Let me explain.
Rigged for Christmas, how the fan works. Favorite.
Right.
Right.
The competitions on every season of Big Brother are exactly the same. And sometimes the same people win the challenges that they've won before.
So if we get a wall this week, then we know where to look.
Yes. Yes.
Let's go, Ian.
There's only so many competitions. There's only so many competitions. Boy, it really is weird to think about it, though, when you think about how when it was first announced that Christmas Abbott was going to be part of the season and 100% positive approval rating from the fans, everybody thought this was going to be just the greatest thing ever. And it's just amazing how badly that, I mean, nobody could have seen this maybe a bad call in terms of an all-star, because everybody was just so pumped and was like, oh, it makes so much sense. Christmas, got to have her all. She's a no-doubter.
Like, for real, though, like the better part was then like 3 weeks into the season where people were like, she is so good. She is impressing us. Look at her. She is playing a great game. She's actually likable this time around. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We one get time. Made to be fools every season. Yeah. Every season.
Everyone was hoping she'd be different with a fixed leg, but not.
I always like go back through my tweets from each season. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. And it's usually like, and honestly, like it can be a turnaround of like 5 minutes. Like I can be tweeting like, oh my God, All Girls Alliance, this is amazing. And then like 2 seconds later, I'm like,
Look at Shipton Tyler from last week to this week. I mean, obviously a lot of things happened in that time span, but it doesn't take long or it doesn't take much.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's take another question from Jay. Any idea why Tyler did at least try to flip this on Danny this week as a, well, okay, fine, don't put me up, but at least save one and put Danny up? I think Christmas could have been on that idea, especially in contrast to backdooring her final two. We just don't know. We don't know. Maybe they did talk about that.
Yeah.
Christmas is all in on the committee. Like I think she would have fought hard to say, we can't go after the committee. It has to be final six. I don't care. You know, I feel like she would have thought that she could talk Tyler out of it because she's this almighty HOH. Mm-hmm. So no matter what she would have said, she would have thought, okay, I can talk him out of this. So I don't think that would have happened either.
Okay. This is my impression of the producer in the diary room with every single person in the diary room. Okay, that was really good, but could you just give that to us one more time, but mention the committee?
That's exactly what it is. I literally never see them talk about the committee during the actual feeds. It's only in the diary room when all of a sudden everyone remembers that they're in this alliance called the committee.
Yeah, Matt, who wants the committee to happen more, Big Brother production or Christmas?
Julie Chen.
Or Memphis, yeah.
Yeah.
Julie Chen.
Really.
God.
She is not ready to give up this narrative the second that they get out of the house. She does not know where else to turn. Committee.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to be interested to see how they spin this one so that Memphis was the mastermind behind this whole thing tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Literally, yeah, we are going to see. Yeah. Yep.
We're going to be like, the same lineup. This was
you
the Alliance.
Thought the Slick Six was the real deal, but look at this. It's Memphis.
Yeah.
It's Memphis.
The best will be when somebody in the committee is voted out and then they have to explain that the committee was a thing to one of the people that was in the committee during the season. Right. Like, actually, you were in this alliance. Look at this up here with these six. Yeah. What?
You thought you were in these
with
other
Memphis?
Alliances.
I didn't even know
was
that.
The main one.
You got me.
Okay. I forgot he was even here.
Yeah, Memphis, nary a Memphis sighting in this episode. No confessionals for Enzo tonight, I don't think either.
Yeah. Yeah. Cody wasn't really in it either.
Yeah.
Just that I used to live in a basement.
Yeah, he used to live in a basement. Yeah. He got that. Faison, does Christmas know about the Slick Six? Imagine how mad she'd be if she knew about that.
Yeah, I feel like the answer is no.
What?
And she knows enough at this point. Like, she knows that Bailey and Devon were brought in to like feel comfortable with everybody else. I don't know if she knows the exact name of the alliance or anything like that, but wouldn't have made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's over anyway.
Okay, all right. Jaws says, "Where this untouchable expression come from anyway? Who started? I never heard it until the season. Matt, it's a challenge thing, right?"
Untouchable? I have watched a decent amount of Challenge. I don't remember hearing anything about Untouchables.
Hmm. Same. I saw that on Twitter that people were saying Untouchables comes from the Challenge, but I haven't heard that myself either.
Maybe I'm a bad Challenge fan. I don't know. It just doesn't sound too familiar, but I mean, it turned into a thing. That and fact-checking. That's what the season's all about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah. Well, we heard Devon tonight dropping lots of facts on us. Devon is so good in the diary room.
Yeah, she's very good.
You don't say. Oh,
she could be an all-timer in the diary room.
I loved her when she was like, we're supposed to be riding this thing to the end. You're not supposed to pull over and decide you don't want to ride no more. I was like, oh my gosh, that was funny.
Yeah. And like it's so like such a stark contrast of like Devon when she goes in there and she doesn't have to take any direction. You know that she just goes in there and she knows what she's doing. And then you see Kevin before the competition when he goes in there explaining things. And I was like, Kevin, I'm going to hurt my eyes so I don't have to watch this. I'm just painful. Kevin, killing me.
Okay. The worst Kevin, coincidentally, says, did Christmas say a scapegoat? I don't know. Maybe she said a scapegoat. I'm not sure.
I think she said a scapegoat. But at first I was like, wait, did she really say a scapegoat? Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Okay.
I think she did say a scapegoat.
Okay. James says, okay, how many oofs does Devon get to admit to Christmas that Bay wanted Tyler's head on a silver platter? That doesn't help neither her nor Bailey's situation, right? Look, I don't think Christmas was her mind was going to be changed at all. If anything, she gave ammo to Christmas to use to get Tyler back on board. But I think that maybe Devon, her mistake, was thinking that Christmas might be being somewhat genuine in wanting to work with her. And she was trying to make a more logical argument about like moving forward. Like, I think that Devon might have been looking past the veto being used to thinking about what are we going to be doing moving forward? And hey, we could bring in Bailey as a number. This will be great. She's not even mad at you. And then ultimately, Christmas was just looking for something to go back to not get Tyler to flip. So not a great read of the situation, but I was not saying like, oh my God, Devon, you blew it.
No, right. Yeah. I mean, like I see what she was thinking, but it was not a good move.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Dance Girl, double eviction will happen when, guys? Do we think a double eviction is coming up soon?
October 1st.
October
1st. According to Hampshire Wise.
Yeah, because wasn't there like scheduling where it was like some episodes were going to be 2 hours or an hour? Or
yeah, whatever. Two-hour episode, allegedly.
My only thing about the October 1st theory is that I think that they're using October 1st maybe for a jury buyback at that point. Because we may have like four house guests maybe at that point that are in jury, but we could see a double eviction this coming week because then it would be, you know, two people going in jury instead of one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah. All right. Let's go to one more question. Okay. Or let's go. If we have no more questions, then let's go to talk about our live feeds. We will be back again live after the eviction episode coming up on Thursday night if you're going to bounce out. Otherwise, join us as we discuss what has been happening the last couple of days on the Big Brother live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right. Yes.
You have your buzzer.
Yeah, I found it. Okay. All right. So going into Thursday night, Melissa, what are we thinking? That Davon will stay and Bay will go home?
That is the thought right now. I mean, like, I feel like it could change, but it does seem to be leaning that way.
Okay.
If I had to pick, I would think Davon stays.
Okay.
Yeah, the momentum in the house has really been in Davon's direction the whole time, because you've had this week could have gone either way if you had people that had stronger opinions towards the Bailey side of things. Right. It really was just Enzo and David as well, but David is David and doesn't really have a lot of pull. But you have Danny, you have Christmas, and you have Nicole, who have all been advocating for let's do Bailey this week. And Cody and Enzo and whoever else, Memphis, they're not really... They don't care enough to push completely the other way. Right. So
yeah.
And then you have Tyler, who of course is going to vote Bailey out because he wouldn't want her in the jury.
And he has her permission. So
right,
he's running with that.
Yeah,
she told him it's fine if you need to do what you got to do. I won't be mad about it. I just hope that, you know, when I get out of here, I'm not seeing that you've been awful to me in here. And he's like, yeah, no, no worries. I think you'll be fine. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah,
like, okay.
Social media will be once again lit with our latest evicted house guest coming out. We'll be watching it. Did Janelle have a poll tonight of who wore the punishment costume better, Janelle
yes,
or Nicole?
She did.
She's okay. Like completely unbiased polling here. Just want to know. Throwing it out there.
Yeah. That'll be great. Do you think...
Although, to be fair, her costume was a lot easier to wear.
Yeah.
She looked great in it, Janelle did. But, you know, I mean, in comparison, a big giant box versus like a star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little different.
Yeah. Matt, do you think that we will see the non-jury players on Zoom for the finale?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. Everybody else obviously will still be having been like quarantined, so they can come back to the stage and hang out with Julie, all in masks, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be surprised if we turn over to the many screens behind her, and yeah, they'll pop up for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do we think, Asia, is this going to be a 9-0 vote on Thursday night?
Well, we have Enzo voting this week, so
yes.
he could throw a wrench in things.
Good point. Yeah, what's it called? The monkey something? Yeah.
Right. A wrench with a monkey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
so,
David as well could potentially just throw a vote Bailey.
Who will they blame the hinky votes on?
Right. Kevin.
Kevin. Potentially. I think that of these two options, Bailey or Davon, I think that I can live with Davon staying, give her a chance. I think that that Davon has more of, I don't know where she is on the legacy watch, but I feel like that, you know, she's
not
the three-time player.
Right, not
she's
high
the
enough.
Person that has, I think, more of an arc in terms of like her Big Brother trajectory. And so I think that it means more to her than it does to Bailey. So I think that of these two options, I think I'm okay with Bailey going out here.
I've watched a lot of these two. I mean, we all have over the past couple of years. Davon having been, this is her fifth reality show since she started. Yeah. Bailey's on her third. Both of them. I've really, really enjoyed watching the two of them together on this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people have the dynamic that they formed. And Davon said this many times. I didn't know her. I just met her when I first moved in. Like, she's reached out. We didn't really connect very much or well at all. I think she'd talked to Davon had talked to Swaggy a little bit. But the two of them and the way that they've interacted in this house and the fact that they've had each other to lean on in some tough times and throughout all the David stuff and throughout just every week that goes by where people are looking at them. And it's like, and again, that goes all the way to this week of like, why are we the threats in the house? Why is it us that are on the block when there's all these compies and all these big players out here? You're coming after us. We don't win anything. But the fact that they've had each other to lean on has been really, really great to watch. So I'm sad that, like, devastated that it's going to be ripped apart tomorrow. I do think that Devon has potential to go farther now. And since she will hopefully be staying, I think that, you know, Danny and Nicole want to keep her around. Cody is, he was looking at her a little bit in previous weeks, but no longer. He sounds like he's got Devon not in his sights anymore. Tyler as well. So I think Devon has potential here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Day can do much better without Bay and then Bay could do without Day. Cause I think it would be a situation where Bailey hasn't really been trying to position herself in the house this week, even while being on the block. So it would be a situation where she could end up on the block very well next week. Whereas Day is kind of like a few people aren't really looking her way. So, you know, depending on how the chips fall or the child, whatever the saying is, Devon will be in a good position. I think she'll be okay.
Asia, do you see a path for Devon? Like, what is the best case scenario for Devon look like?
Yeah, so right now she's aligning with Danny and Nicole. They don't want Christmas to be a part of this anymore because they did form this girls' alliance. And ever since the big fallout the other night, she wants it to just be Danny and Nicole. So I think that as long as Danny's sights can be narrowed in on Tyler, then I think it'll give an opportunity to start looking at Tyler, start looking at Ian, you know, as a winner, even, you know, wasting HOH on getting David out. So I think it buys her some weeks and I'll be interested to see if she can really like nurture a relationship with Enzo and have a stronger relationship with him. Because right now Enzo is closer to Bailey than Day, which is why Enzo is one of the only ones who want to keep Bay. So I think there is a path depending on relationships that are going to be formed moving forward.
Yeah. So Melissa, so for Devon, really, it sounds like the best case scenario is really that hoping that the women's alliance really takes hold. And all she has to worry about is that Nicole Franzel won't tell the guys about the women working together, and this could be smooth sailing.
Smooth sailing. She's got this in the bag. We might as well, you know, give her the check now. No, I mean, like, honestly, it's
hold on. Let me see. Okay, Nicole. Okay, let's just channel Nicole. Will you keep the women's alliance a secret from Cody and the guys?
No, freaking.
No,
that would have been so good if I would have nailed it. Yeah,
okay. Edit it a little bit, fix it around.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, no, I mean,
it's
Danny,
already out there, right?
Yeah. Danny already told Cody about the four girls.
It wasn't even Nicole.
Nicole told Cody.
Nicole.
Yeah, Nicole told him second, so she was late to the game.
Wow, we're so quick to blame Nicole. This.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I know there's some sad news in the house in the last 24 hours. I know that Cody was informed that his grandfather passed away. Has Cody been kind of checked out?
He actually seemed a little better today, actually. You know, he said last night he didn't want to make it a big deal. He obviously was, you know, sitting there grieving. People were comforting him and all that stuff. But then I think today he's been trying to just put himself back into it. He did get a letter from home when he went into the diary room yesterday, which is how he found out. And I'm sure that the letter was, you know, very like, keep going. We want to see you win this. We want to see you go all the way. So keep your head in there. And Cody's the kind of guy that you can just tell. He'll get his head back on and he'll be fine. So he seemed okay today, but I'm sure, you know, he's obviously still going through it.
Yeah. Okay. Any other business in the house that we should talk about before we head into tomorrow?
Christmas had the nerve to ask Day if she was safe if Day gets HOH.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you truly think the Girls Alliance is a thing, first of all, you wouldn't even have to ask that. So that shows that you still don't seem secure with Day. So I was like, why are we even having this fake conversation with Day? Like, no, yeah, you're good. No, you're not good. So that was crazy of Christmas to think that Day wouldn't consider nominating her.
Yeah.
We've had a little bit of David doing some testing on people to see if names get back to other people. And
I think it's sure what COVID testing?
No. Yeah. Yeah. David's in the DR waiting with the sticks. No, he's like, because he was the only one that was really like him and Enzo that were pushing to keep Bailey. And he was telling Devon, yeah, I'm telling people that I want Bailey to stay to see if it gets back to you. So we'll see if that does anything. So we'll see if David's kicking his game up a notch or two. Worth watching.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Endurance comp on the way on Thursday night. And we're expecting the wall, correct?
We're always expecting the wall.
I feel like we were expecting the wall last week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they always say it, but
yeah.
It never happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the wall basically like the Dan and Derek of the preseason, and then ultimately they're not going to be there?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have to do it eventually, right? Like Taryn, I think, was saying this morning, like they blew their whole everything on last Sunday doing the power competition. So they got to do something on this Sunday.
I just hope if it's a wall comp, it's not a wall comp based on upper body strength. I hope it's just like a can you stay on because you want it, not because like, you physically like you are very strong or, you know, whatever. Because I just feel like those are always... I don't know. There's no way I could do one of those.
It is a wall. Enzo, Memphis, count them out. I think, you know, if you're looking for like,
Memphis for Memphis sure.
That's, oh, yeah,
you can't
yeah,
even
yeah.
Like, so, stand up.
I'm just saying, you know, some of the people that people are looking for to win HOH benefit from the wall. So let's hope it's a wall.
Yeah.
Hopefully we wake up tomorrow to that scroll across the screen.
Right.
Check in with the live feeds tonight and watch the HOH unfold.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. Anything else that you want to touch on tonight?
Yeah, I think going into next week, Christmas thinks that she had such a successful HOH week. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, girl, all you did was be mad that the two people you put on the block are mad that you put them on the block. So I'm interested to see where Christmas goes after this to see, you know, is she going to still rely on the committee or is she going to be nervous about going to block? And if she does go on the block, is she going to fly off the handles? So I'm kind of curious to see where her game goes now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm interested to see also how they present the giant fight tomorrow night. That'll be interesting.
Julie's going to have some overdramatic reaction to lead us into the episode.
Yeah. Now, is this edited out of order? Because didn't that happen before the veto competition, right?
No,
right, before the veto ceremony? Or that was after?
No, after. It was after.
You know what? It was a long weekend. So
it was it was a long week for all this stuff. It all blended together. It was like one.
Yeah, because
thing
Labor
after
Day.
Another.
No, I'm not talking about Christmas. It felt like they usually do the ceremony on Monday, and Tuesday felt like a Monday. Yeah. So okay.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see that.
And we still got to see Bailey's punishment tomorrow night as well.
Right. That they did edit out of order because she did that the night of the veto.
I don't think we're going to see it.
I know.
I think he's leaving the house.
Right.
She did
it was
so
uneventful.
Well at it. I think they're going to be like, yeah, okay. No one cares. She did too well. She kind of ruined it for us. We wanted to see someone struggle. And then it was like, oh, wait, she did it in what, like 5 minutes?
And they have to edit around the tricycle breaking every couple minutes.
Right.
Maybe they should scrap it. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about what else is coming up here on robhasawebsite.com. It looks like Canada's Drag Race finale. Check out what Liana and Amon and Beth had to say about the finale of Canada's Drag Race over on our reality TV wrap-ups feed. And then the Mole Patrol continues. Find out, is Josh Wiggler going to know who the mole is? Find out with the great Josh Wiggler, Jessica Lees, and Brooklyn Zed over on Mole Patrol. It's Taryn's live feed update solo edition on Thursday, September 10th. What a way to honor the First Lady of Podcasting on her birthday. It will be solo Taryn to get you ready for eviction day on Thursday of this week. And then, I had the pleasure of talking with the great Shannon Gus last night, and we talked about why people should check out International Survivor. It sounded like there's some news that we will not be seeing Survivor anytime soon. But if you want to catch up on some International Survivor, I spoke with Shannon Gus about how to do it, what you should watch, what order if you want to bounce around, and much more with the great Shannon Gus over on our Survivor podcast feed. Then there's more stuff to come. Love Island recap. Kirsten McInnes and Brian Scally are recapping Janelle and Tyler's favorite show. How come? Did Tyler maybe mention that, like,
you know, they're doing a Love Island season. If I get out now, I could still catch the rest of it.
Get out now. He can catch some Casa Amor.
Casa Amor this season, and they had this in the UK version, and it was really awesome. So, all right, Love Island recap. Okay. On the Purple Pants podcast, Bryce is back this week. Check out what Bryce had to say. That Matt, do you know, is Bryce talking some Big Brother on this episode also?
Yeah, Mon's like the new weekly co-host over
there.
Look
at that.
Share my co-host with Bryce these days.
Yeah, two Philly guys catching up about Big Brother. Plus, Bryce is going to talk about his relationship with Cliff Robinson, who sadly passed away 2 weeks ago. So I'm sure you will enjoy hearing from Bryce on the Purple Pants podcast on News AF. The owner of a Jelly Belly factory is giving away the factory to one lucky person who finds this special golden ticket. Although I saw news today that this whole thing might be a scam.
There's fine print there. I read the fine print. There's a lot more to it. It's not as generous and easy as Willy Wonka. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we talk about it with Danny and Tyson on the latest News AF. And then, the slop with Matt Hoffman. Had a lot of fun on Monday catching up with the Hoff. Had some great Enzo stories. We played some footage of Enzo on the live feeds, talking with Ian about Hoffaween. A lot of fun with Matt this week over on the slop. Then, last night, the LFC Roundtable was back with Taryn, Melissa, Brent, and Amon also on the LFC Roundtable. Melissa, I did not catch it live, but it was a great listen this morning.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. There was a lot to discuss.
Yeah. Great stuff. Every Tuesday night, join the LFC Roundtable. And then tomorrow night, we will see what goes on Eviction Night, where Brent will be back with us, Mari, and Chappelle on Thursday night. It should be a fun recap as we find or maybe start to find out who our new HOH is. We'll see. Sometimes we get the HOH by the end of the episode. Of course, all of this podcasting is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Find out more about everything we're doing at robswebsite.com/patron. And on Thursday nights for Big Brother, we are getting you ready for our Big Brother pregame show. That is going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern time for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Yes, it's my wife's birthday, but still, we're coming on early to talk and take your calls live 7 p.m. Eastern, 1 hour before the episode, and get you ready. Okay, my wife understands. Maybe she'll call in with her Big Brother questions. Of course, you could follow us on social media at Rob Has a Podcast on Twitter, at RHAP Grams on Instagram, and at Rob Has a Podcast on Facebook. Okay, and then also, I just want to quickly mention that I got a text from the great Zeke Smith today. He wanted me to help get the word out about the Sunday Burquist special buff. Sunday Burquist is going through cancer treatment, and this is a fundraiser to help raise money for Sunday. The proceeds are going directly to Sunday. You can go to ZekerChief.com and get the Sunday buff, which is going to be shipping to the US, UK, Canada, and Australia. You can get it at ZekerChief.com, and I'm sure there's links on Zeke's Twitter as well. All right. Great show tonight, of course. Matt, where can we hear more about what you're doing?
Yes. Plenty of stuff going on. If you are a Glee fan, still one of these days, we'll talk to Rob about something over there. We'll get him to watch an episode of Glee over in the choir room with Amon.
I watched the pilot.
So maybe we'll do that. we got nothing but time.
Right? They sing Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's not the pilot, but it's
the first
one,
episode.
So yes.
Yeah.
That is the last episode of season one.
Okay.
Close enough. But so there's that. Challenge is not back yet, but the cast is kind of out there. So a couple of previews with that coming up here and there. So all that good stuff on Twitter.
Some good names, right?
Some good names, yeah.
We could spoil. We could spoil them. Like, all right, if you're Natalie averse to Anderson? Challenge spoilers, yeah, is that for real?
Natalie Anderson is out there filming the challenge. Big Brother names. We had Amber Borzotra.
You know, I'm happy
there.
For Natalie Anderson. Let me just say very quickly,
please,
because I know she took this Survivor loss very hard.
Yeah, no, the challenge is built for Natalie. Yeah. We saw what she did on The Edge of Extinction. Get her out there against these players. Like, she's made for this show. She's a great social player. I'm excited. But yeah, Amber Borzotra, famously, possibly had
she's
been in
already passed her COVID test. She's
bounced
ready
on
to go.
Over there. And then we also thought that Mark Jansen was out there, but apparently he's not. So that's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
Fessy's back on, right?
Fessy's back. Casey and Josh are there. So. We'll see. Should be a fun time.
Mm, okay. All right. So Josh got back on a reality show after all.
He certainly did.
He made it. Okay. All right. Asia, where can we see and hear more from you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, Asia Like Asia. So A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As hard as Melissa. Yeah.
Yes.
No, you also have three A's. Oh, no, you have four. Whoa.
Yes. Four so, yes.
Yeah. But, by the way, Matt, that I complimented your shirt earlier. If anybody can find a screen cap of me from the final tribal council of Survivor or Amazon, we'd be twinning.
Wow.
I'll look into it. We'll get the side by side going.
Who wore it best? Okay. All right. Melissa, at It's Melissa with three A's on Twitter. She was just one of the panel of moderators on the great debate between Rob and Akiva.
Yes. It was very fun. I like judging. So,
yes. Okay.
People, things, contests, all of them.
Yeah. What else is going on?
Go listen.
You still dog sitting?
No. I mean, yes, I have multiple dogs at my parents' house, but I am no longer the sole sitter.
You're no longer responsible for them.
Yeah. Yeah. You notice how they were quiet tonight.
You're like Christmas with your star babies, but dogs.
Yeah. But yeah, just a ton of dogs all over the
giant
place.
Dogs.
Running around. Giant dogs.
Okay. All right. We'll be back tomorrow night for our eviction night recap. Hope you can join us then. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. robiswebsite.com/iTunes. We appreciate your feedback and star baby ratings over on Apple Podcasts. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.